May it be so for the honor and glory of you, Father. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here today. It's a privilege to be able to come and share with you from God's Word. Since the last time I was with you, I do notice that you have a different piece of furniture up here. This is quite a pulpit. I don't think I've ever preached behind such a pulpit, but boy, it's exciting to see what's going on. I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, with me this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and if you'll find that place in your Bible or your electronic device and just hold that spot, I will appreciate it. And in just a moment, we will be reading a passage from that scripture. I want to begin today by asking you a couple of questions to just get your mind thinking down the same line that I've been thinking in preparation for this particular message. Have you ever started something that you regretted? Or maybe to put it a different way, have you ever decided to do something and partway through it you wish that you hadn't? Or maybe you've been on a ride someplace when you were a little bit younger, maybe even recently, where you wish that you could push a stop button in the middle of the ride and just get off and say, I've had enough. You know, I was trying to process this because of the passage that we're about to read, and I remember a distinct time in my own personal life. It's been several years ago now. It's not recent, but it's something that happened out at the University Park Mall that qualifies for this sort of an event in my life. And let me tell you a little bit about it. I very seldom go to the mall, but this particular day I did decide that I was going to go. It was my day off. I began walking the halls and I noticed something that I had seen before but never really stopped to observe. And that's those places where they have this kiosk set up where they have a massage chair present. And I mean, people sit in that and then they work on their back and their neck. It's the kind of chair that has a donut at the top. You put your face into it. And I noticed that there were people processing through this. So I stopped and watched for a few minutes. And a young mother happened to be the person that was there. This young mother, she was just finishing up her massage, and I had the opportunity to ask her a question. I said, you know, how is that thing? How did you experience? Was that a good experience? And she looked at me and she said words that I will never forget as long as I live. She said specifically, it was the 10 best minutes of my entire week. And I thought to myself, wow. You know, what was going through my mind at the time was, well, I'd like to experience the best 10 minutes of my week. You know, I've had a long week. My back and shoulders sure would feel rewarded if I sat in that chair. It would be wonderful to relax in that chair for 10 minutes. And so I indicated to the gentleman that was there, I said, I'd like to be next. And the guy said in broken English, and I'm not making fun of him, okay? But he said, you big man, you need 15 minutes. And I thought, yes, I've won the lottery. I mean, I get more than 10 minutes. I mean, I just thought this was going to be the best 15 minutes of my week. And so I watched what he did. He cleaned the chair off. It sanitized it. He put new paper towels around the face pillow on the chair. And so I sat down, placed my face in that donut hole, and he began to stretch my arms out, which was fine, no big deal. He began to rub my head, actually, my neck, my shoulders, and my upper back. Now, apparently, this was just the warm-up for what was about to happen. Because I'll tell you, what happened next was he found a knot in between my back, shoulder, and my spine. And he kept coming back to it. And this guy was big. He had strong hands. He just kept coming back to that one spot. And then he did something that literally put me almost out of the chair. He took his elbow and he placed it on that spot and he just began to grind. And I'm telling you, it was all I could do to keep from moaning and crying out. I mean, personally, my pride kept me from saying anything, but deep inside it was saying, please, for kindness sake, for mercy's sake, out of the goodness of my well-being, will you please stop? I wanted to get out of that chair. I had had enough, and we were probably only 5 minutes into it. I had another 10 minutes to experience this. Now, I'll tell you what else was going through my mind. I was pretty sure that the paper towels around my face pillow there were to soak up my tears because I was on the verge. Believe me, I'm not exaggerating. I wondered whether or not that mother that was in the chair before me was a plant for business purposes. I actually thought that for a second. And then I began to wonder, well, what if she just lied to me about being best 10 minutes of her week? And then I thought, well, what if she was telling me the truth? Maybe I needed to track her down and pray for her. If that was the best 10 minutes of her week, I thought, man, that poor lady, she needed prayer bad. Make a long story short, it was the longest 15 minutes of my week, and it was not the best. I wanted it to stop. I wanted it to end. I regretted ever sitting down in that chair, and I was happy when it was over. I was glad that I survived. Now, the story that we're about to read in the scriptures has some of these exact same elements in it. It's the reason I told you the story. In the story that we're about to read, the expectations of the disciples are extremely high. The circumstances, however, change in the middle of the journey that they're taking with Jesus. And all of a sudden, their own survival begins to be questioned. Solutions are sought for the situation they find themselves in. And finally, a Savior is found. Now, when I processed this story to me sounds a lot like our lives. The background of this story, before we read any of it, I want you to know that Jesus has been healing a lot of people around Galilee. So they're by the Sea of Galilee. There's large crowds of people that are starting to gather around Jesus because they want to see the next miracle. They want to see what Jesus is going to do next. And yet Jesus tells his disciples after a period of time, he said, let's get in, let's cross over to the other side, specifically is what he says. And he gets into a boat. Now, I want you to pick up the story with me, beginning at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 8. This is what it says. He got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the water swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, it's kind of a strange reply, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of a man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They're still getting to know Jesus in this story. Now I want to pause right there before we go any further and just remind you, this is a story at its very heart that it's about having faith in the middle of a storm. It's a story about faith. It's a story about turning to Jesus in the middle of a bad situation. It's a story about trusting Jesus with our fears. Now here's the truth before we begin to tear it apart. The Bible talks a lot about faith. I mean, you well know that you can't turn anywhere in the scripture without pretty quickly running across a story that talks about faith. We all know who've been around the church for a while that Romans 1:17 says the righteous will live by faith. Our life is to be characterized by faith. We know Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. So faith is a big deal in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, if we had the time, which we don't, we could take scriptures and see how it defines faith. I think it's interesting that the scripture defines faith as believing when we don't see, obeying when we don't understand, persisting when we don't feel like it, trusting when we don't get what we want. I mean, there's all kinds of descriptive terms in the Bible of what faith is. And here in this passage, Jesus even references little faith. So it almost lends a person to believe, well, is there different levels of faith? And the answer to that I would share is yes. Apparently, there are different levels of faith. Let me give you some examples. In this passage, he uses the term little faith. He says, why do you guys have little faith? We know in other places, when Thomas, if you remember, after the resurrection, he says, I'll believe only if I touch him. There's only if faith. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to have faith unless I can touch Jesus. So that's only if faith. Pretty small. There's faith that is characterized by if-only faith. Mary and Martha at the scene of their brother Lazarus when he passed away. Do you remember what they said to Jesus when Jesus finally arrives late? They say, if only you had been here. I had faith, Lord, but if only you were here at the time. That's if-only faith. And then in the Old Testament, I think we could even make a case for the fact there's even if faith. Remember the three Hebrew men that were thrown into the furnace of fire because they didn't bow down? What did they say? They said, our God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. That's even if faith. And by the way, there's a high level of faith mentioned in the same chapter that's entitled or called great faith by Jesus. It was when the centurion says to Jesus earlier in the same chapter, he says, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house to heal. You just say the word. And Jesus said, oh my goodness, I've not seen great faith like this in all of Israel. So there are levels of faith. Scripture talks a great deal about faith. This story is about faith. Now, one final point, and then we're going to dive right into this story. I believe the scripture also teaches us that our faith can grow. We can grow from little faith to great faith. We can grow, and how does that happen? Well, it happens, according to scripture, through God's word. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message. We know that our faith can grow through trials and testings. James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, the stretching of your faith, does what? It produces perseverance. It helps you to grow. It helps you to mature. Now, with all of that as a backdrop, let's look at some of the elements of this story. Let's tear this story apart and see what there is for us. What is it that we can apply? What is it that we can learn? Well, there's several things. First of all, I believe that within this story, we can see at least four things, and we'll cover them fairly fast, that stretch or test our faith, that the Lord uses in our life. Now, as we make our way down through this, ultimately what I hope that you can do is figure out, are you in one of these categories? Is your faith being stretched right now? Because in this story, we see four elements. Here's the first. It's unexpected problems. When the disciples got into the boat that day, they didn't expect the problems that they encountered. The scripture says, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. And the word furious there literally means a devastating storm. It was a bad storm. I did a little bit of research. You know, the Sea of Galilee, apparently, I've never been to Israel, never seen it, is in a natural wind funnel so that storms do tend to come up suddenly, unexpectedly, and very fiercely. These kind of storms would often, in Jesus' day, catch fishermen off guard. I mean, this was before the days of radar and scientific weather forecasting and all the stuff that we have available today. I would like to suggest to you that once you've endured or experienced a storm like that, you have a brand new healthy respect for them. Can I tell you about a situation that happened in my family? It's been years ago. I had an uncle who was fishing out on Lake Erie. We lived in Ohio. He went out there with two of his friends. It was a small boat. Lake Erie is notoriously shallow. A storm blew up. They didn't get off quick enough. Their little boat capsized. They all had life jackets on. They clung to the upside down portion of the boat, but my uncle couldn't swim. And they held on to him as long as they possibly could until they couldn't hold him any longer. My uncle died in Lake Erie as a result of a storm that came up, and it was a furious one. Do you know what that did to everybody in our family? It gave us a whole new healthy respect for storms on Lake Erie. There was suddenly a whole new respect, and that respect can oftentimes take the shape of outright fear or worry. That respect can go way too far at times, literally paralyzing us. The storms that we experience in life, they can paralyze us emotionally, physically, spiritually. Unexpected problems do the same thing as these storms that I'm just referencing. We worry about the next one hitting because we've experienced it in the past. And the slightest hint of a storm cloud on the horizon, what's it do? It wells up fear inside. It paralyzes us at times, physically, emotionally, spiritually. All I want you to sense today is that sometimes unexpected problems can stretch our faith to its limits. Maybe you're experiencing that right now. There's another category mentioned in the story. It's overwhelming circumstances. It's different than unexpected problems. The scripture says the waves swept over the boat. Now, this is a big deal. These disciples were not only worried because of the storm, but they were concerned because the waves that were coming into the boat. In other words, they not only saw the storm clouds on the horizon, they saw the waves in their boat. Many of these disciples were fishermen. They knew that when a storm caused water to come inside the boat, it's serious. It's not to be trifled with. There was a genuine problem that they were facing, not some imaginary future concern. Now, can I push the pause button again and just simply say, sometimes our little faith can be traced to waves coming into our boat, so to speak. They're genuine problems. They're not imaginary. They're genuine concerns. They're real issues. Let me try to explain the difference. And again, in a story, and it happens to be a boat and a water story. Years ago, when our boys were very young, we went canoeing down an Ohio River. And I remember distinctly, I had our two youngest sons in my canoe. They weren't canoeing very much. I think that they were maybe 5 and 6 years old, so that gives you an age range. We noticed as we came around a bend, and the river was quite high, it was pretty fast, there was a tree that had fallen out into the river, so it was blocking part of the river. The current was fast. I was paddling really hard trying to negotiate this tree, but because the current was so fast, it literally turned us sideways and pushed us into this tree. Now, that wasn't bad enough. My sons, who saw the branches now coming into the canoe, they leaned clear over to the other side, and as soon as they did, the weight shifted, and the edge of the canoe caught the water that was pushing us that direction and immediately flipped the whole canoe. Immediately, I lost my two sons. I had no idea where they were at. The canoe was upside down. The tree was there. I didn't know if they went under the canoe, under the tree, wherever. So I went back under the water, found one, grabbed him, pulled him down. He was actually in the canoe underneath, pulled him under the water, shoved him out in the current, got him away, found the second one. I share all that to simply say this. When that canoe tipped over, when the water was coming in, when we were flipped, I was no longer just worried. I was panicking. I was panicking. All I want to say is that sometimes overwhelming circumstances in your life and my life cause our faith to be tested. Our circumstances can throw us out of our comfort zone. Our circumstances can take away our sense of security. Our circumstances can cause us to lose confidence, can actually make us leery to travel any further on the journey that we're on. Once I got those boys back in the canoe again, I was nervous about going down the rest of the river. The same thing happens in your life and my life. Unexpected problems, overwhelming circumstances. The third category that we see in this story that stretches our faith is inadequate resources. It talks about the boat. Now, the boat, we don't have a good idea of what this boat is like. I did a little bit of research, tried to figure out what a Galilean boat looked like during this particular period of time. And it was interesting. They've actually dug up archaeologically some of these boats that have been preserved in the mud. Their hull is all there, all of the ribs, etc. So they get a good feel for what these boats were like. It was probably 25 feet long. It would oftentimes have a crew of 5 people if they were fishing in it, but it could also have an additional 15 people. So 15 to 20 people could ride in one of these boats 25 feet long. Probably is exactly what this boat was like that Jesus was in, sleeping with his disciples. This was a small boat. I'm going to suggest to you that this boat in that storm was an inadequate resource. Tammy and I had the opportunity, my wife, years ago again, to take a cruise down the St. Lawrence River Seaway. I mean, it was quite an interesting cruise. I'm not going to tell you all the details, but we left New Jersey, the port there, went up the eastern seaboard. When we left New Jersey, there happened to be at that particular time a hurricane coming up the eastern coast. We were not going to go into the hurricane, but we were going to go through the waves. And so I'll never forget, the captain of the ship She literally, and it was a female, and that was a big deal. It was her first voyage on her own. But she closed off the outer decks because the waves were so high. And when I asked, you know, they were telling us 25-foot waves outside of the windows, outside of the deck. 25-foot waves. And yet, because of this enormous ship that we were on, the gross weight, which was 137 tons, 1,000 feet long, we barely felt the waves inside of the ship. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think the disciples would have been worried had they been in a ship like that during this storm? No, probably not. They were in an inadequate resource. They were worried because of the size of their boat. They were, worried because of their inadequate resource. In the same way, we can look at our finances and say, oh my goodness, there's not enough. Our resources aren't big enough. We can look at our own personal strength and say, oh my goodness, there's no way. We don't have enough strength to make it through this situation. We look at our resources frequently and we shirk back and say, we don't have enough. We're not going to make it. Inadequate resources stretch our faith. Let me give you one more. Feeling alone stretches our faith. The scripture says Jesus was sleeping. Now, in my mind, I can imagine the disciples glancing back at Jesus. I imagine him in the back of the boat. I don't really know where he was at. But I imagine them looking at Jesus over and over, thinking at least to themselves, is he going to wake up? I mean, is he going to wake up now? When is he going to wake up? I can see them beginning to dialogue with each other. And as it gets worse and worse, they keep looking at him, hoping that somehow he's going to wake up and notice what's going on. Again, when I read that story and I think about that, I have to say, man, I've been in that same spot. I think you have as well. Haven't we all felt that way at one time or another? We're struggling through a circumstance in our life. It's stretching our faith. It's getting worse and worse. And we begin to pray and we begin to cry out and say, God, don't you care? Do you notice what's going on here, Lord? Are you going to help? Don't you see what's happening in my finances? Don't you see what's happening with my job? Can't you see that my marriage is falling apart? Why don't you do something, God? It stretches us. Okay, so maybe more than you would like to admit, you find yourself in a situation that's stretching your faith. Maybe it's one of the categories, I don't know, unexpected problems, a circumstance that's overwhelming you right now, inadequate resources, you just don't feel like you have enough. Maybe you feel alone. Here's the good news. The good news is that inside of this story, there are some very practical steps that we can take, that we can apply today to cause our faith to grow, to find our way through a hard time. When we find ourselves in the midst of an unexpected storm, some circumstance that seems to overwhelm us, when we don't feel like our boat's big enough, maybe we feel like we're alone, maybe we're just not sure that God cares enough to do something, here are some things that we can do. Practical stuff. We see the disciples doing some of it. The first is simply this. It's to ask for help. It's to ask for help earlier than what we typically would. You see, there came a moment when it got so bad that the disciples went to Jesus and actually woke him up and asked for help. But do you notice when that moment came, when they finally cried out and said, Lord, save us, we're going to drown? It was when they felt as if every single resource was exhausted. It was a moment of desperation. They say, we're going to drown. Can I ask you this question? Why is it that we have a tendency to handle life like that? If you're anything like me, to think, well, I can handle this, I can handle this, I can handle this, and then all of a sudden we realize, I think I'm going to die. Why do we wait so long to ask for help? The disciples, they're asking for help, and when they do, they actually teach us how important it is to do so. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, do what? Pray about everything. Pray about it all. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's done. Allow your faith to be stretched. But ask. Ask for help. Ask for help earlier. Here's the second thing that they do in this story. Jesus causes them to do this, and that's simply to question our fears. In the midst of this horrific situation, Jesus, he literally asks them a question. He first of all says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Isn't that a strange thing to ask in the middle of what they were going through? Why are you so afraid? What's Jesus doing here? Now, I've been taught that the primary enemy of faith is fear, okay? Matter of fact, at times people have tried to allude and say, it's sort of the opposite of faith is fear. When in reality, that's not true. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Fear, in its weakest form, diminishes our faith. But fear, in its strongest form, can destroy our faith. And Jesus, here in the midst of this thing, is teaching his disciples, question your fears. What's one of the most common phrases in the Bible? It's don't be afraid. We see it over and over in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the midst of whatever it is you're facing, when your faith is being stretched, don't be afraid. Almost everybody in the Bible had it said to them at one time or another by God. Abraham and Moses and Joshua. And here are the disciples. Oh, you have little faith, don't be afraid. Question your fear. Number three, third thing that we can do, use fear to build your faith. Now, what do I mean by that? The truth is this, the same circumstances that cause our fears can also increase our faith. The same circumstances that cause our fears can actually be used by the Lord as a tool to stretch our faith. Whether our faith grows or shrinks depends on how we face the situation. Can I give you an example? I think it's a wonderful example. David in the Old Testament. David's a prime example of someone who allowed previous experiences that were hard, that could have caused great fear, to build his faith and his courage for future situations. Do you remember the lion and the bear? He faced them. I think that caused great fear, but that experience built his faith. And just as the Lord gave him strength to face them in the past, Goliath to David was no different in the present for him. His faith had grown from his previous experiences. Now listen, friends, we're no different, are we? We have the stories of God's people in our scriptures that if we'll read them should build our faith. We have living examples, perhaps some even sitting around you in this service, that we can point to and say, God was faithful to them. He stretched them. They made it. I can learn and grow from that. So we need to ask questions, ask for help, question our fears, use fear to build our faith, and then finally, acknowledge God's presence and control in the midst of our stretching event. Look at the end of this story in Scripture. They wake Jesus up, they're scared to death, they're about to drown in their opinion, they ask him to do something, and what does he do? He got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The truth is, God himself was in the boat with them, and yet they were afraid of a few waves. Here's my point. I believe that when we recognize, as Christ followers, that he is with us, when we acknowledge his control of everything, his sovereignty, you can call it whatever you want, when we understand that he loves us, it changes the way we see and feel about the situation that we're facing. It creates a sense of calm in the midst of the storm. Now, to bring all of this together, in closing, just as I started telling you in the beginning of this message about my search for the 10 best minutes of my week, to a certain degree, I think we're all looking for that. We're all looking for the 10 best minutes of our week. We're looking for peace. We're looking for some sort of security in the midst of the storms that we all encounter. All of us at times face unexpected problems, problems that we didn't expect, overwhelming circumstances that just we believe they're going to tip us out of the boat, inadequate resources, and times that we feel alone. And I just cannot help but believe many of us in this room have experienced such a ride, if you want to call it that, and we've said, man, where is the stop button? I want to get off. I want to quit. I want to stop. Can I encourage you today to ask for help? Can I encourage you to question your fears? Can I encourage you to use fear that you're feeling to build your faith instead of destroying your faith? Can I encourage you to acknowledge God's presence and control? I believe that when we're willing to do that, we may just find the best time of our week, a place of peace in the midst of a storm. Now, friends, I want to tell you, I struggle. I've only preached this message in one other church, and I really wrestled at that point, too. And how do I end this? How do I really give you an opportunity to drive some of these truths home, to respond? Jesus, I believe, is always looking for a response from us. And so what I thought that I was going to do, I asked your pastor if I could have permission to do this, what I would like to do today. If somebody wouldn't mind making their way to the piano, I know we're going to sing a song in just a moment. We're not going to delay the service. We're just going to do this fairly fast. But today, if you find yourself in a situation, a circumstance, a place in your spiritual journey that, man, if you could, you would push the stop button and say, I just want to get off. But instead, what if today you responded differently? And I don't know what you do. I've only been in your service a couple of times. But I'm going to invite you today, if you're in that spot, but you want to respond differently, I'm going to give you the opportunity just to step out wherever you're at. No big fanfare. I'm not going to ask you to kneel. All I want you to do is come and stand right here and acknowledge that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. You're responding to the Lord by even coming and saying, Jesus, I want to respond differently to this thing. I want to give you the opportunity to do that. And then before we sing our closing song, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Nobody's going to pry into what it is. We're not going to do some counseling session. It's just a response. So if you wouldn't mind playing softly, I'm going to pray for us right now. And if you would stand with me, please, I would appreciate it. If you would like special prayer before you leave today, feel free to respond by coming forward. Heavenly Father, right now, I pray that your presence might be made known in this place, in our hearts, in our minds. And I know, Father, that at different times, your Spirit speaks to us in different ways, and I'm not sure how you really want me to close this, but I sense this, and I'm going to take a step of faith and do it. But I ask you, would you touch our hearts today? Would you help someone here that perhaps is facing a situation that maybe others don't even know about it? I don't know. But I ask you to work through your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name I pray.